Welcome to Growth Uncut, a podcast that interviews different people from around the world to share their views on personal growth. We feel passionately about connecting communities and raising awareness around social justice, humanity, and relationships. And today I'm really pleased to be joined with Nina McNamara. Hello, Nina.
Hi, Sarah. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's really, really lovely to have you here. And you're one of the birds behind Bird Podcast, which is an utter inspiration in terms of how this kind of podcast came about. So I'm really pleased that you agreed to join us on the show.
Yeah, really happy to be here. Glad that Bird has inspired other podcasts. So the more podcasts, the better is what I say.
Fantastic. Lovely. So I guess to start things off, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, Nina?
Yes, yeah, so I'm Nina. I'm a UX designer. That's by trade. That's my job, which basically means using research and design to figure out the way people use things and what their needs are in different spaces. So at the moment, I'm working in the environmental space, and we'll kind of talk to people to understand what they need and then build products to help them do that and help them achieve things in their life through technology. So mainly that's with apps and websites, but sometimes it is other experiences out in the real world, and we kind of have to observe how people use things there and try and improve it that way.
How did Bird come about then, in terms of that work that you do? What kind of introduced you kind of to the idea of doing a podcast and doing it about prisons and punishment?
So basically my co-host Kate, who Sarah, you've met before, obviously. She works in the criminal justice system herself. So we're really good friends and we've known each other for years. And basically for me, it was this, I guess, raised awareness when she used to tell me stuff about her job and come back and tell me stories about things that she'd experienced as a social worker in the prison. And those were things that, you know, in my design job, working in various different sectors, had no idea about and didn't understand at all. But what I kind of realized was that, you know, and I wasn't alone in that. And a lot of people didn't understand that and didn't know anything about it either. And I think what we decided after chatting was, you know, maybe we should collaborate on a project of some sort, because obviously Kate has that domain knowledge and that real expertise as a social worker. And I have the kind of like design skills and technical ability, and obviously being a researcher in design as well has some crossover skills with, you know, how you speak to people and how you develop empathy and things like that. So we decided that a podcast was a good way to maybe collaborate on something. And we thought that, you know, the topic of the criminal justice system is so kind of hidden to inverted commas regular people, that, you know, it felt like a good story to tell, and that we wanted to do that through a podcast. So you know, it's kind of grown from strength to strength. We started it as a bit of a fun thing to do, like where we try one and see how we go, and it's grown and expanded into, you know, the process of doing the podcast itself is in and of itself kind of an activity that we can do in jails with people. We've met so many incredible people, Sarah, you included, through this process. So, you know, both Kate and I, from different angles, have like an inherent interest in people, and I think the podcast really allows us to like express that.
And I think I love all of the episodes that you've done, and I kind of think it's just a fantastic opportunity for you to kind of capture different voices, and just the way you place them together is really brilliant. And I guess, you know, looking at growth then, I guess, within the context of your design work and your research work, as well as your work with Bird Podcast, what do you see, you know, what is personal growth to you?
So for me, I think it's centered around learning and I guess combined with reflection. So I think, you know, at any point in my life where I've felt like I've been learning something, I think for me that equals a feeling of fulfillment and purpose. And I don't think that learning on its own can sort of give that. I think you need to have that ability, having that ability, or trying to grow that ability to reflect on things and maybe adapt to some of the decisions you've made in life, or adapt to based on the things that you've learned, is really, really key to personal growth. And I suppose for me, it's like trying to strive to have an open mind and question the way you think about stuff, which, you know, is related to the podcast in another way, because I suppose it's, you know, a world that I'm not aware of, and it definitely broadened my horizons and my knowledge about a certain topic as well. So yeah, I think learning and reflection and that kind of open mind is something that is really, really key to personal growth for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think there's something really interesting there just about the kind of curiosity and just having those spaces where you can be curious. And I kind of think with such a kind of heavy, hectic kind of life, generally, and particularly, I guess, within a prison environment, let's say, it's really hard to find those spaces, isn't it? So I can, there's so many learning opportunities, I think, within prisons and opportunities where people can grow. Even some of the kind of instances that are really tragic and really difficult and potentially very harmful, but just to have those spaces where we can reflect and learn is growth in its own right, I guess. So yeah, I love that idea of kind of being critical and being open and being kind of curious. I think they're kind of key elements, from my perspective. And I guess that leads me on to my next question in terms of within the context of growth, what are the things that you would say that you kind of value in your life?
So for me, a really key thing I think is relationships. So whether that's friendships, romantic relationships, or relationships with my family, and even people that I interact with day to day, like work colleagues, who people around you kind of adapt and change to be more or less part of your life depending on different situations. So I think in my life, I think I've been really lucky that I've definitely felt really kind of rich in that kind of like having lots of people around me who care about me, and I think that's sort of the best thing to be rich in, I guess, is those supportive relationships and having a supportive family. And maybe if you don't have some other things in life that maybe people strive for, like money and success, it's sort of like become that kind of thing becomes less relevant if you've got those strong relationships. So I think for me, that's like sort of the most thing about you. And I can see that at times where maybe I haven't had some of those things around me, like it's drastically affected like all aspects of my life. So I think, yeah, I'd say that's probably the thing that I value the most for sure.
And in terms of those kind of rich relationships that you have, who would you say, either now or in the past, who would you say has kind of inspired you, and why have they inspired you?
I think for me, I've been very lucky to be surrounded by a lot of really strong women in my life, which includes sort of my dad's sisters, and he comes from a quite a large family of six siblings, mainly women, and they're all very, very strong personalities. And I'd sort of extend that as well to my mum, and also like some of my like lifelong friends that I've met. I feel very inspired by their strength in different ways, and that doesn't necessarily, it means a few things, I guess, if like they've had to overcome various people who've had to overcome various hardships, and they've still just always kept that kind of positive mindset. And I think growing up with that and being surrounded by that, me and my twin brother, I suppose, are like very similar in a lot of ways in our personality and the way that we are, and like fairly outgoing and things like that. And I think even though maybe we came from like a working class background and we didn't necessarily have like we weren't like handed opportunities and things, like we've managed to sort of like really grow and like be like, for want of a better word, successful. But and I think that a lot of that is based around those role models and in people who inspired us throughout our lives. So yeah, I think strong women, not just women, there's men, strong men as well, but like if I was to cite examples, I think obviously me identifying as a woman, that's really important, I think. And I think, throughout my career, like I'd say being a designer is a bit of a, it is a job, but it's also like a sort of way of thinking, a state of mind. Like being a creative person is something that you just are, and it's not necessarily just linked to whether you have the job doing that. So, I always knew that I wanted to do something creative, even though, in school and stuff, I was fairly academic. I think, it was like my calling, really. And I think having role models, I suppose, in that space as well has been really key to me sort of being a designer now and being, really enjoying the job that I do. I think if I didn't kind of have that like path to sort of look forward to or look at where this career could take me, it's very confusing and very kind of overwhelming if you don't have that. So yeah, I'd say inspired in on that side of things as well.
That's really interesting, I guess, because in our last podcast that I recorded a couple of days back, we talked about a little bit about, I guess, resilience, the idea of being inspired by people and how they kind of help us, you know, through that inspiration, they help us, I guess, have that hope in the future and have that kind of like, do you know what, I've done it and I'm strong and I can achieve the things that I want to achieve, and having those kind of role models, isn't it, maybe that kind of say, do you know what, even when things are tough, you know, there is hope, and there are ways in which we can, this will pass, and there's ways in which we can kind of move forward, which is, you know, I think that's brilliant. I guess the next question is really about those challenges. So, you know, looking, you talked a little bit about kind of growing up in a kind of working class kind of background, but in terms of your kind of biggest challenge, what would you say that is, and what would you say you've learned from that experience or from that challenge?
So I think for me it's like when I kind of left university and you know I'd really enjoyed my degree doing design, and but I hadn't really been given any of the life skills to do to use that and do that as a job in real life, and I didn't really know how that was and how that works. But what you do get from university is that you get like a high level of confidence where people are like, you're amazing, these things are so good, like, and so you have this a tiny bit of a false sense of security, like where you think everything's just going to be amazing when you leave. And for me, I decided, I think I took that confidence maybe to the next level of where I thought, you know, actually I'd always wanted to live in Australia at the time, and I decided that, you know, as soon as I basically it's handed in my final coursework, I got on a plane and kind of moved to Australia and was pretty much like abandoned my life in the UK, including like splitting up with a boyfriend at the time and things like that. And I was just like, I'm just gonna go to Australia and make it on my own. And I'm like
Wow.
the best, you know, I'm like obviously with it now, knowing what I know now, I'm like, how did I think that I was gonna sort of go with like portfolio? I literally had like a printed portfolio in my suitcase of like the work that I'd done at university, and I had no real world experience. Like I'd had like maybe a 1 week internship or something, and for some unknown reason I felt like that was not a barrier to my success in Australia. Like I just was like, yeah, they're cool with me, they're definitely gonna hire me as a designer, and then I'm gonna live in Australia and like, you know, design in the day and go to the beach at the weekend and things like that. So that was a big reality check when I got there, because it was the opposite of
Yeah.
that. Like, you know, the challenges of like, oh, you have a working visa? No, immediately. Oh, you don't have a portfolio? Oh, your portfolio is, you know, collages of naked women. Like, it's just sort of like this, like, you know, clearly been going on a journey of my own during university of a bit of a feminist rant, probably for about 3 years, and that manifested itself in work in the work that I'd done. And just thinking like, yeah, why wouldn't you hire me to be a designer with this? They just were like, we like the collages, but we don't really know how this helps us as our business. And I was just sort
Oh
of like
my
really,
God.
really naive and really, really oblivious, I suppose. But what that did teach me was, you know, I think that year felt, I was there, ended up being there for a year, and it felt almost like 10 years in the way that in the stuff that I learned and like the challenges that I faced. You know, like I was sort of there trying to make this dream happen, and was so stubborn about not letting go of the dream. Like I was like, oh no, I can't go back and say it didn't work out, because all the people are going to be like, oh, you're silly, you're stupid, or whatever, which obviously they wouldn't have been, but it was just such a like a bit of an obsession, like in my head. But anyway, it ended up, you know, I did end up getting an internship there, whilst also having this double life, working in a bar and having this like nocturnal half of a week and working in an office the other half of the week. And you know, the things that's suppose the people I met and the broadening of my mind, because you know, growing up in Manchester, you do generally meet quite a lot of people who are very similar to you, and you don't necessarily have that broad exposure to different people. It's very different if you grow up in London, and it's like inherently very diverse as a place. So, you know, I'm not saying that Australia is, but it was just that kind of like complete broadening of my mind. And you know, at one point before I got to that point where I was like, okay, this is what I think success is, if like got an internship, someone gave me a chance, and I'm sort of living my life here in Australia. But before that, I, you know, at one point I was working in a factory. I was like, you know, packaging up avocados and working nights in a factory, and sort of, you know, speaking to people who were making the choice of like, will I get my swastika tattoo removed, or will I buy cigarettes next week? And it was just these like relationships that I'd built, where they were actually my friends in the end, because I was like, we need to survive this night shift at this factory.
Yeah.
But like, how on earth would I ever encounter someone like that or meet someone like that at any other point in my life before that stage? Because I was kind of like 22, 23 at the time. I'd only really ever lived in Manchester, and like obviously had seen parts of the world from like holidays and things, but never like an extended exposure to another culture. So
Yeah.
yeah, I think for me, like, what the biggest challenge there was that, as I mentioned before, I didn't have some of those core relationships around me. So, once I was kind of like out there on my own, it was like, what actually a big part of my identity, I think, is those relationships and being able to sort of see yourself in the mirror of someone else. And I think I definitely lost part of my, I lost a lot of that confidence and a lot of the kind of identity that I'd built up about, with people around me during that year. And I think when I, towards the end, it started to be like, this is maybe I'll stay here, maybe I'll, maybe this is like the life for me. But when I returned home, it was that sort of realization of like, oh my gosh, how much had I been missing out on of just not having those like robust like connections in place. And I think it took me a long time to like build up that confidence again. I kind of thought, okay, well, I have got my internship, but I was starting again, really coming back and saying, okay, well, maybe I don't have the collages anymore, and I have a bit more in my portfolio, but I still didn't really have any like tangible experience as such that somebody would hire me for a real job. And I think that journey then for those few years, to just really get my first proper job, a break as a designer, were really challenging. But learned so much and have a lot of really kind of tragic but hilarious stories to tell. So,
Yeah.
but I'd say, I think if people met me now and met me then, I'm a very different person. So, still like same personality, but I suppose more of a like evolved version of myself now.
Yeah. And looking at that experience as a whole, you talk about kind of going back and realizing the kind of value of relationships. Do you think by going through those kind of challenges and having that kind of, I guess that kind of broadening of your perspective out there by talking to, I guess, different people that you wouldn't normally talk to, has that, do you think, had an impact in terms of how much you value relationships now and how open you are now?
Absolutely, yeah. I think, and in one way it's like, it's not to say that I wouldn't like go and live somewhere else again, or like do that again. I think I would say that, yeah, I think that I just gained a real appreciation for those things. And even just in terms of like, you sort of at that age you maybe still take your parents for granted a little bit, and I definitely felt like that was something that was really strong of just like, appreciating my family a bit more. And but also knowing that like nothing did really change back home, like it was still, everything was is still back there for you.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it absolutely, in terms of my mindset and my an openness to different types of people, like I honestly I would hate to think what I'd be like if I hadn't have had that. Like I just think it just was irrevocable, the change. Like it was just just a perspective that I could never have gained, like without doing that drastic kind of move, I guess. Or maybe it would have happened, but just at a slower rate. It was like a baptism of fire of perspective change now, like for this year intensely. So absolutely
Yeah.
has had an impact on, probably even on stuff like me moving to London eventually and deciding that was the place that I should go for design. And really, like, the idea of moving to London wasn't so, it used to be a really, really scary idea for me, and weirdly felt like Australia wasn't scary. I'm not sure why. And then just my mental brain thinking that. But I think then when I came back, I was kind of like, definitely like after building up that confidence again, I guess I was like, what am I scared of to go into London? Because I've literally just lived on the other side of the world for a year, and it gave me that sort of, like you say, once you've overcome something once, like that you can do it again. So
Yeah.
that was great for that, from that side.
That's absolutely brilliant. I think that's such a what a journey. And it would have been lovely, like you say, just to have seen that kind of growth over the course of it would have been really interesting in terms of like before you went and then during it when you were in it and it was like, oh God, that kind of overwhelming space. But from the
Yeah.
sounds of it, you've kind of taken that learning and and used it in terms of your life living, moving forward, which is like, we talk a lot about post-traumatic growth, and I guess when you go through those challenges, through exploring what you've learned from it, there's new possibilities, those new identities, those new relationships, maybe what you value differently. That's the stuff that helps you grow and move on with stuff. But when you're in it, it's tough, isn't it? I guess so. Yeah, really
Yeah,
interesting.
definitely.
And I guess in terms of my last question, so my last question is a bit broader, really, in terms of I guess looking at communities, and we're still just about to get kind of unlocked a little bit more, I guess, in terms of COVID as we kind of move forward into the kind of new normal. My last question is around just one thing that you feel could improve our communities. So what one thing would you say would make our communities safer and happier and healthier places? What would it be if you could choose one thing?
Yeah, had a good think about this question when you sent over the brief, and I think for me, I think it comes down to, and certainly this is some of the conversations we've had before in when you were speaking on Bird and when you were at our event. I think the key thing for me is just to support one another, like understand the challenge that your challenges will be different to someone else's challenges, and really try and gain that empathy of what someone else might be going through. And I think we know, and I know, as mentioned, like how hard it is to do things without support, or and how you kind of develop without being given some opportunities. Like everyone needed their first chance, like everyone needed that kind of helping hand from someone else, no matter how talented you are, no matter how kind of like set up you are for success. Like you still need to sort of have somebody to support you and offer you an opportunity of some description. So I think, if people can be sort of more mindful of that, and it might be something as simple as enabling somebody, or like giving them a lift to sign on for the dole, like whatever, like you might literally like at that time, like when you're in that like low confidence mood where you're like, what is my value? Like I'm not doing my core purpose. Like it's such a hard time to ask for help as well. Like, and I think actually that's when people are in that point, that's when they need that support the most. And often that's when they don't get it because they're a bit kind of quieter and hidden, and they don't like asking for help and things. So it's just, I suppose, like when, if you are maybe like in a place in life where you feel like you can offer that support, or if you, maybe have learned some lessons and been through it yourself, like I think, yeah, if people can try and just reach out and offer support where even if you think someone doesn't need it, do you know what I mean? Because you can always ask and they can always, and I think that's super important. And I think, everyone has the right to reach their full potential and not be kind of punished for circumstances out of their control, which is some of the chats we've had about on Bird, and in prisons that's specifically really, really acute. And I think, there's just because you've done something wrong, everyone's done something wrong at some point, it doesn't mean that then those opportunities should be taken away from you, or that that support network shouldn't be tried. We shouldn't try to provide that in some, even if it's not in the kind of conventional way. Everyone has the right to that, and I think if everyone, I suppose it's a bit like what we say in terms of the principle of growth. Like if everyone thought that way, then there's no way it wouldn't have a positive impact. Do you know what I mean? And I think it's just supporting one another and just being there for each other is really important.
I think there's something there about kind of like, I loved what you talked about in terms of kind of offering support even when you think that maybe someone doesn't need it. And I think there's something there in terms of, whether on social media everything's looking great. My friend, she when I'm not on Facebook anymore, but when I was on Facebook, everything looked great to her. She was taking pictures of her family and she looked really happy and she was traveling and she had all of this. She had the life, and
Yeah.
because of, I guess, that exposure to her life through those kind of posts, I kind of thought, oh, maybe we don't need to check in as much as we used to. We used to check in maybe 3 times a year, so it wasn't like massive. But ultimately, I kind of thought she's all right, so she doesn't maybe need our friendship as much. So with that, I kind of let it run, and it wasn't until like a year later when I kind of rang her up just to see how things were going, and she said, "I've had the worst year," and I was just like, "But that doesn't make any sense because it looked like everything was okay, And I think there's something about it's okay to not be okay, isn't there? There's something about having that kind of honest conversation, but also, feeding things forward. I think, a prison that I'm working at the minute, we do these kind of kindness cards, and we did them when we were at Guy's Marsh as well. And it's just a kindness card that says, I'm inspired by, I don't know, I'm inspired by your knowledge, or I really value you, or tiny little basically words of kindness. And this idea that you essentially just feed it forward. So I would give it to a member of staff, and then a member of staff would give it to, let's say, a prisoner, and then a prisoner would give it back up to possibly a governor, let's say. And it's just that, I think it's just about offering it, isn't it? And I think even making the assumption that everyone's okay, I think is it's so easy when everyone's fine. I'm fine, everything's okay. And it's not always great, is it? There's lots going on behind the scenes, and like you say, asking for help is a brave thing, isn't it? It's a brave thing to do when you feel that you're in a dark place, or you don't feel you've got any options left, or it's really difficult. So I think it's really fundamental. And so thank you. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you. It's really weird to do it the other way around.
I
It's
know, I
really
know.
weird, but it's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. And it's been great to listen to you, and it's been great to talk to you about growth. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you so much, anytime.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for listening to Growth Uncut. And we really hope you can join us again when we talk about growth. If you'd like some more information about what we do, please visit us on www.penalreformsolutions.com, or search for us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook by searching Penal Reform Solutions. If you'd like to contribute to the cause, please also look for us on Patreon through www.patreon.com/growthmovement. Thanks so much, and catch you next time.